you're in a team meeting and you made a proposal and no one says something. And then just two people further, then the same proposal comes up and everyone is applauding, for example. And then you just sometimes feel like, okay, what language do I speak?
Hello and welcome to the Practical Democracy podcast by DeLib. My name is Sabina Groven and I'll be speaking with some great movers and shakers working to make practical change today. On this episode, we'll be talking about changing the status quo in the geospatial industry, empowering women working in tech, and the importance of a diverse workforce. And to talk about this, I've got the brilliant founder and director of Women in Geospatial.
My name is Julia Wagemann, and I work at the moment as an independent consultant in the geospatial domain, trying to make large volumes of Earth observation data better accessible for users.
3 years ago, Julia had an idea to create a professional network of women working in the geospatial industry.
So it was in 2019, one day before International Women's Day. And to be honest, I thought about it, but I don't remember exactly what it was, but there was a trigger. I don't know, there may be a trigger on Twitter or somewhere, which basically this general frustration I had about biases and systematic biases in the field, which just let me, like, I really would say it was an impulsive tweet. So it wasn't scheduled or it wasn't planned for months to say, okay, now we do it. And so it was really impulsive in saying, okay, what about, who would be up for forming a group like this? So women in Earth observation, remote sensing and geospatial, is their interest. And then, it picked up very well. So within 2 days, we had over 300 people showing interest in signing up for this Twitter list. And then we realized, okay, this Twitter list is actually not a good way forward because there is no central way to actually contact people on this list, which then, brought me and at that time also Claudia Vitolo and also Maria Reves. They reached out to me. They were quite active in with Our Ladies and also with the general geospatial Phosphor G open source community. Maria is active there. And they reached out at like, oh yeah, we need something like this. Let's do it. And so then we, the three of us, we agreed to set up a mailing list to get things started where people can sign up and also a Slack channel. And and so basically this was the beginning. And then some weeks later, also Olive Powell, who is at the moment also co-director in Women in Geospatial, she's based in the UK. She also reached out and said, oh, see, I actually had the same idea. So maybe we can join forces. And instead of her building up something in the UK, we could actually really work together and work developing a global network. And yeah, that's what we basically, so it then started. So we presented the first time Women in Geospatial at a conference in Milan at the Living Planet Symposium in 2019. And there we organized a panel discussion, which was surprisingly very successful at that time. But before, I was quite nervous because the network was just like 2 months old and we just said, okay, we have this idea, but let's see where we go from here. And this was also a time where I got to know Sabrina Sito, and she also, together with Olive Powell, she has been very instrumental in setting up the network for the past 3 years.
From the start, the proof was in the numbers. This network was needed. I wanted to hear from Julia what kind of experiences the network shared.
It was like the challenge I find at the moment with systematic bias is, and compared to what we had maybe 50 years ago, is that 50 years ago we had obvious discrimination. So it was like it really happened obviously, and it was also difficult for women to actually do something against it, but it was obvious. And now we have, like, thanks to a lot of law regulations, this is actually not allowed anymore to have this public discrimination, which is also good and very important. But it doesn't mean that just because there is a law that this discrimination just stopped. It's just at the moment, it's just very hidden. And every one of us has experienced a situation where you're in a team meeting and you make a proposal and no one says something. And then just two people further, then the same proposal comes up and everyone is applauding, for example. And then you just sometimes feel like, okay, what language do I speak? I think this is exactly the situation where everyone just nods and they're like, okay, yes, exactly, I feel it. But it's often that everyone has, it's happening quietly, because we don't have, like, in these situations, like, a group with us who say, okay, come on, this was already addressed, or, hey, this person hasn't said something yet, so maybe what is your opinion on this, you know? And so it was like, it was not that a lot of people came to me, it was just that like a general frustration where I also think, okay, if this happens to me, this is not only because it happens only to me. So it's also like a general problem. And I think the start of Women in Geospatial is just like finding my, I don't say I have all the answers. It's more like find together with the network, finding answers and finding a good way how we can also collectively have an impact and make a change.
So how do they do that then? How does Women in Geospatial work?
So our activities, we are like organized so we call it steering committee or leadership team, and we have like now around 20 highly motivated women around the globe involved in different activities and also bringing these activities forward. And our activities are divided to inspire, to unite, and to empower. And so the idea with this is, the inspire, we see this as our task to advocate for diversity and also to raise awareness. And this is what we do with our social media channels, but also by running events, by creating networking opportunities. And then our Unite pillar also comes in. So that basically we want to create different places where people can meet, where people can exchange themselves. And luckily now next week, our first in-person event or one of the first in-person events after pandemic starts again. So before the pandemic, we also had, like, during conferences, we had these gatherings, and we created these just these opportunities and places where people could network, could get to know each other. But also the Slack channel is a very important resource where people can meet. And I also got already some feedback from people who signed up, who said, like, okay, this is just like such a huge resource, because we are now more than 3,800 women plus who signed up for the network. And so it's basically by entering the Slack channel, you have access to the expertise and experience and perspectives from around 3,800 women working in the same field. And so we have different channels on depending on what you're interested in. So on regional channels, so that you can also network more regionally and you can meet people who live closer to you. But also channels like where we share job advertisements, where we share events, where we discuss about diversity or leadership, and so on. Yeah. And then, so this is more like creating just these opportunities to come together. And then we have another pillar where we want to empower our members. And this is really what where we see an important part, because it's also about developing confidence. So this is, we think, one of the major pillars that needs to be worked on, that if we are all more confident, we are also more confident to speak up against specific biases, unconscious or conscious, and also to speak up for ourselves, but also for others, and saying, hey, this is not correct what's happening here. And under this empower pillar, we have this mentorship program, which is really successful. We have now the third edition this year, and around 100 women, peer-to-peer mentorship groups. So it's like a year-long mentorship program where they also get like a program or suggestions to follow, but usually they meet every month and then also develop a mentorship plan what they want to accomplish during this mentorship year. And we also run a webinar series on career development. So this is really where we also say we want to share tips from experts in the field, how they develop their career, what maybe helped them, but also general leadership skills, how people can work on leadership skills. On like just yesterday, we had a webinar on positive intelligence, so how you also change your mindset on approaching different things in life.
That's so great. And for example, for a woman who is perhaps the only woman on her team, she can join Women in Geospatial and learn and be empowered and then take those skills back to her job and maybe with a bit more confidence be able to advance as well in her career.
This is exactly the idea. So or also what you say, that basically, so because this is, I think, if we see it from 20 years ago, there was still this glass ceiling, and we also have this glass ceiling at the moment. So it's quite easy to get entry level positions, but then really going or advancing in your career, it's getting harder and harder, and we see less women there. And then those women who actually made it, we didn't see that they actually were big supporters for other women. And this is often the problem, because they also saw it more like, okay, I did it myself, so others also have to figure it out, you know? So, and this is what we also, with Women in Geospatial, we say like, okay, be a supporter. And even, so you can be a mentor, because a lot of people also tell me, oh no, I'm still too young, I can't be a mentor. But you can also be a mentor for maybe different skills, you know? So just see it as like, okay, you can learn from others in this network, but at the same time, you can also give back. And this is exactly what we need. And then also you have to give it back and bring it into your organization and your team. And yeah.
But is that enough? How can organizations improve to change the status quo?
I think we see it in a long term. We need both. We need a top down and we need a bottom up approach. So the bottom up approach is what I discussed already a bit. It's where we think by developing this personal confidence or this individual professional confidence, we all become actors of change, because the more confident we are, the more we are empowered to speak up, and the more we will also do it. And so we also say to everyone individually, don't be afraid, speak up for others and for yourself. It's also just simple, like, probably I often also say to people, become comfortable with being uncomfortable, because it is like we want to foster, we want to have a change, and this doesn't happen with being comfortable. So it also means we have to go out of our comfort zone and address issues, which are issues, and not, because otherwise we will not change anything. But we also need this top-down approach where We strategically also work with organizations and also give them we first of all raise awareness about these biases, and then also give them tips how they can make changes and how they can increase diversity in their organizations. And there, I would say there is still, at least from my perspective and the organizations I know it's still a long way to go, specifically also with being open to change, because this also means for organizations that it's not easy, right? Because otherwise, if it was easy, then we wouldn't have a problem. So this means really actively working on this problem or on this challenge. And this means looking out for, like, if you have a job ad, really specifically looking for promoting this job ad in different channels to bring already a more diverse candidate pool in for the job. But also then when you interview it, important is to have a diverse interview panel, and not only one woman and then five men, for example. So I see there's still a long way to go, but I think the more women individually also in their organizations ask for this, or they also address it, and the more awareness is raised about, and more people say, okay, but this is not right. So maybe this is with this, we don't hire diverse, for example. I think the more pressure also comes to these organizations to also to the outside to show that they actually make an effort to be diverse, and to also create diverse teams, to respect diverse perspectives, etc.
Julia mentioned the Slack channel, and I wanted to hear about the importance of having a non-judgmental discussion group.
So we run a mailing list which is open for women and allies. So everyone can sign up for this mailing list, but the Slack is for Women Plus exclusively. And the reason for this is that we really want to have, or we want to enable, or to have to use it, or want to, we see it as a platform with really honest and open discussions. And this so far, to be honest, since we set it up in 2019, for the past 3 years, this really, really works very well. So there is, for anything you would like to discuss. So we had like some members who also came into these, sometimes really difficult situations at work, where they also just said, like, look, this is the situation. How do you see it? Or what would you do? And then others see it. Oh, they might share that they've been in a similar situation, or they also maybe also already established more confidence. And then they said, okay, this is not an offer you can actually agree on. And maybe this is also a good approach. So maybe try it to do it like this and this. So they also give advice. And this is really important to not felt judged, and to really also have this this opportunity to say, okay, I'm not too inexperienced. I'm not too anything. I can just be myself, and I can just ask for advice, and people will not judge me. People are there actually. They want to help me and they want to support me. And that's the reason why we said, okay, this is our group where only our members Women Plus members can discuss and can share their advice.
And just to clarify, when you say Women Plus, what do you mean by that?
Yeah, so for anyone from an underrepresented gender background, so any person from an underrepresented gender background, so it can be women, but also those who identify as women, etc. That's why we say it's not only, so we don't want to exclude anyone else.
I'd seen Julia talk previously about young women leaving the geospatial industry, and I wanted to hear more about it.
Yeah, I think it's not only a problem of the geospatial industry. So I think it's like we see this in many domains. And I think it's even stronger the more technical the domain becomes. Reasons for that are really, I think they can be quite, various. So first of all, of course, the difficulties maybe in advancing in your career, if you then see then everyone else is promoted and you feel stuck and you try and you put a lot of energy in, but it doesn't work, then it leads automatically to frustration. And I think the older you get, the less you want to cope with this, and you just then say, okay, you know, my lifetime is just too precious. And then unfortunately, a lot of people, they leave the field they really fell in love with at the beginning. This is caused by the systematic bias, which is there. But then, of course, also the social setups, which also women are brought up. So it's like this natural development, what we see, okay, once they are children and then, for some reason, maybe women then they have just more care work to do, or they also just take over more care work, and then at some point also it gets a bit like they just struggle too much, and it's just too much, and this is also a reason why then also just people might also not leave, they leave for a period, but then they just might come back at some point. This is like systematic and societal challenges, I would say. And what Women Plus and Geospatial is doing, what I already said, is first of all raising the awareness that this exists, and that also young professionals entering the field, that this might come up also, that they are also aware of it, and they also see others, role models, who are maybe also already have a family, and they see they work full time, or they still advance in their career, or they're still involved. So that so there's like this role model aspect, which I think it's very important. And and then in companies like or in organizations with that leads to frustration that people can't advance. This is more like just not giving up. And then if you see maybe in this organization, okay, you are undervalued, then maybe you also have to think about, okay, maybe it's maybe not the right organization. And so also be confident in your skills and in your, what you know and in your expertise, and also just say, okay, this is not the right place. I want more, and you can give it to me. And this is again like then having this opportunity to discuss this also with others in the Slack channel, where people also support you in maybe making a decision to leave an organization and look for a place where you are more valued.
Yeah, I think that's such an important point, because as women we are perhaps thought to be more humble and grateful for any opportunity, but now that most of us work, we shouldn't be grateful to get a job, or like you said, to get an entry-level job.
No, exactly. So it's like, this is what we say, we want to have a geospatial community where all genders can thrive, and everyone has the opportunities the options. So if they want to make a career, if they want to advance, then they should have the chance. But at the same time, at the moment still challenging. Important is, I think this is also with women in geospatial, this is also what I wanted to say, is basically like it's often you don't get direct feedback. So like with the network as well, so that you, of course, you put a lot of, you run a lot of activities, you also approach a lot of organizations. And especially the best example, what really brings me to frustration every year, is actually during International Women's Day. because now it started that a lot of organizations, I call this diversity washing. So that basically organizations who actually don't make an actual effort during the year about anything related to diversity, but then they take on this International Women's Day and then say, look, these awesome women who are working for us. And oh, yes, we are so happy to have them. But in reality, it's like, okay, a lot of women said, okay, they are there, but they maybe didn't advance as others, you know, and they are quite stuck. So it's like they don't address the systematic issue. Yeah, we have to speak up what we want and not just being okay, because this is also often seen that like, okay, let your work speak for yourself. And this is also good because I think you should do good work, but you should also seize opportunities where you can grow, where you can be visible. And I think one important thing also to not only look for mentors, but also for sponsors. So people who know your name and who also, when the doors are closed, who put in your name for as a suggestion to, okay, she's doing good work. Maybe she could be also a good candidate for promotion or for this project, etc.
If someone wanted to join Women in Geospatial, where would they start?
Just go to our website on womenandgeospatial.org, and there is right on the right top, there is like a join button. And then there is a form to fill in. It's just like, it's not a lot of information. It's more, we're also interested in what region where you come from, your name, your email address. And then you have this option where you can say, add me to the Slack channel and or mailing list. And then you will be added to the Slack channel and or mailing list based on your preferences.
Women in Geospatial started in 2019. It's such a young organisation which has grown very quickly. And I wanted to hear what their focuses are at the moment and what they're currently working towards.
Yeah, so we are since last October, we are now a registered community interest company in the UK. So basically, just since last October, we are like an entity, and now we can also operate as an entity. Before, we were like just an idea, like a grassroots organization, which was just growing. And so we formed an interim executive board consisting of 6 members. And so it's like myself, Sabrina Situ, and Olive, who are the 3 directors. And then for each pillar, we also have a pillar lead. And the 6 of us, until the end of this year, we aim to bring this to establish the organization that it is sustainable. So it is developed as a formal organization, and also it's a lot of operations we have to set in place to bring people on board, like onboarding processes, but also the accounting to make sure that everything is correct in this perspective. And then we also want to have, we want to open it up to have like an annual election that like the board and the directors are elected, and also the leadership team. And so at the moment, everything is a bit interim, and it was more like appointed based on who was already involved in the organization for the past years and who would like to help setting this up. But then we also want to really make it transparent, and everyone will have the chance to take on a leadership position. But this is for now, for this year, the focus, to formalize things better and to make things more smooth from transitioning from a grassroots organization to really more a established network. And then continue to really work on our mission, to also one part will be also to really partner with organizations and also see how we could best help them. And then again, also, and this will be always our one of the main activities to really also work on this bottom-up approach to support our members in their professional ambitions and personal development, and also creating networking activities, because network is also a really important aspect in your professional life in general. So there is so many opportunities that can just come up from having a wide network and just talking to people.
That's it for now. Thank you so much to Julia Wagerman for joining the podcast. I really enjoyed this, and I hope those listening can continue this conversation in their workplace. If you want to follow the work women in geospatial do, you can find them on Twitter at geospatialwomen or visit womeningeospatial.org. Thank you very much for listening. Should you wish to contact us, you can tweet us at thelibthinks or email info@thelib.net. This episode is hosted, edited and produced for The Lib by me, Sabina Graven. Our creative director is Tiffany Maddox. I'll be back next month with another episode. Until then, you can visit newsroom.thelib.net for great content on people making practical change, improving democracy. Bye!